Okay, the scripture reading is taken from Corinthians 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. But he said to me, "By grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." And that's from 2 Corinthians 12, 19 and 10. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Welcome to worship. Good to be with you. Good morning, everyone. It's good to be with you. This is our third week in this series. We've had a number of series over the last little while, and I want to say thank you to all those that have engaged with us in the online space. If you've got comments and you want to have a conversation about that, for those that are online, you can't chirp in during the sermon like I get here, but you can join us in the chat pod, and there'll be somebody that will be able to respond to you in that way. So if you'd like to make comments during the message, then you can do that. We've been looking at this passage, this concept of when God doesn't make sense. Now, when I mention that, lots of people think, well, he always makes sense. Well, not to me, and not to many people. And when you look in Scripture, you see many, many, many opportunities where God doesn't make sense. You look at the passage and you think, what was happening there, right? The very first week we looked at when God seems inattentive, when God doesn't make sense and he seems inattentive. That was the story of John the Baptist. And he died, he was beheaded, even when Jesus was doing all these awesome miracles and everything, and yet he didn't save his cousin. It doesn't seem like it makes sense. Last week, Debbie looked at Lazarus. And the story there. That very first week when we looked at the story of John the Baptist, the key thought was that just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. Just because God is silent doesn't mean he's absent. Has there ever been times in your life where you've been praying and wondering, why isn't he responding to me? And we often think, just like when we don't get a text message back from somebody, they don't like me, they must hate me, they're not reading it, they're just plain ignoring me, right? Or maybe your phone's flat, maybe you're out of signal, all these other things. Last week when Debbie looked at Lazarus, the take-home message for me last week was, with God, a waiting season is not a wasted season. That's the thing that's been rattling around in my head all week. A waiting season is not a wasted season. When God doesn't make sense, is he being uncooperative? Mary and Martha said, "Come to my brother. He is not well." This morning when you come into worship, we've had opportunities to pray and wrestle together. We've had opportunities to worship and praise together, which has been wonderful. But when you pray, do you pray expecting to get what you pray for? Or do we pray expecting that God will do what God needs to do in our situation? You see, for me, there are many times, and it's probably just me, but there are times in our lives where we absolutely turn up at a car park at a shopping center and pray for a car park, right? Or is that just me? Sometimes I think we're putting the Lord our God to the test. Like, why we pray for a car park at Christmas, I never know. Everybody's there. It's very, very rare that you're going to get a park where you want it. The park that is available to you is 3 kilometres walk away, but there is still a park. It's been provided. It's just we're not looking in the right spot sometimes. But we pray for a park. We pray that our football team is going to turn up and play. The Lord didn't answer my call this week, let me tell you. In fact, I'm not sure that he's answered that call for a number of weeks now. Last week was just a plain out fluke. But we pray for trivial things and we wonder, and sometimes that's okay. We can pray for those. We might pray for car parks. We might get the car park and then get confused why God doesn't heal someone who's sick or take away a pain from somebody in their lives. Well, how can he turn up for something so insignificant like a car park, and when I pray for healing for someone, it doesn't happen? Because I think I often get confused about why God doesn't make sense. It's because I think I'm bringing my petition to him and he's going to do all that he can to answer what I need to happen. Or maybe it's what I want to happen. When we pray for something important, we pray for healing for someone, we pray for restoration, we pray for jobs for people, we pray for to get into the right school, we pray for pain to be taken away, we pray for people to conceive, to have children, we pray for all sorts of things, to be cancer-free, to be free of pain and suffering. Nothing happens, and we think, why is God being so uncooperative? Can't you hear me? So then we start praying louder. Have you ever been next to somebody when they've been on a mobile phone and the other person on the other end says, I can't hear you? So instead of trying to get into a better place for signal, we just talk louder. It's like it's the can and string effect, right? I've been with people who have nearly parted my hair trying to have a conversation with someone on the other end of the phone. It's just a bit crazy. But we do it with God too. We pray louder, we pray more incessantly, we change the way that we pray. And yet, it may be that we've got the wrong idea about prayer in the first place. I think true prayer is where we are, it's not about getting our way, it's about surrendering our will to His. You see, when we pray, it's about saying your way, Yahweh, not our way. Yahweh being the name for God, I want it to be your way, not my way. Well, hang on a minute, I'm not even sure that I'm comfortable praying anymore, some might say. What do you mean I'm not going to get my way? Well, when we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples in Matthew chapter 6, it says in there, your kingdom come, your will be done. It doesn't say anything about me or my. It's all about surrendering our will, His will for us. Even Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, say that 20 times fast, you're going to hurt yourself for sure. Gethsemane said to God, if this is not your will, take this cup from me. Right? If this is not your will, take this cup from me. What sort of prayer is that? I will do whatever it takes to fulfill the will of God in my life. I'll do whatever it takes to fulfill God's purpose that He has for me. It's not a mistake that we are here. God has a plan for us and a purpose. We are created on purpose for a purpose. If anyone deserves to have prayers answered, it would be the person that we're looking at this morning, the Apostle Paul, right? He'd surely qualify. Now, for those people who are maybe joining us for the very first time online or maybe joining us for the first time today, you don't know anything about the Apostle Paul, let me tell you about him. He hated Christians. He hated Christians and he was radically saved. He wrote half of the New Testament and had visions. He traveled for 20 years on a ship, took the gospel to Europe, started churches. Do you think he qualifies to get his prayers answered by God? You would think so, right? So why does God not make sense here? Because if we read this passage from 2 Corinthians 12, it says this at the start of that chapter. It's not necessary to boast, verse 1. It's not necessary to both. Nothing is to be gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know, but God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that have not been told, that no mortal person is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such a one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. And he goes on to talk about having a thorn in the flesh in verse 7. And then in verse 8, he says these words, which I think are remarkable. Three times I appealed to God. That tells me that at least twice, God didn't answer his prayer. Now, if Paul is the person praying this prayer, Paul probably qualifies more than most people for the, you know, aligning himself to what God is asking of him. And yet twice, at least twice, actually three times, he appealed to God about having the thorn removed from him. But it would not leave. And the Lord's response was this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses. I'll let people know that I'm broken, says Paul, because I want to boast to you about how awesome and amazing God is in my life. You see, I think there's a lie that we tell people around us all the time. And we tell ourselves as well that we have to have things perfect, right? Well, as soon as we become a Christian, that equals perfection. Wrong. Paul had thorns. We all have times. We have moments in our lives. And in the midst of our brokenness, we can talk about the grace of God, the undeserving love and favor of God that is on offer for us all. The word in the original text for the word thorn is not actually a thorn, but more like a scallop, which is a Roman military term for a stake that was shoved into the ground about 6 feet in length, and it had a turned point on the end. They would be set up like this in the ground, 6 foot down, 6 foot across, 6 foot up the other side, and 12 feet wide. That was the scallop. And when the Roman soldiers were marching along, and you've got the big shield in front of you, what aren't you seeing? The scallop right in front of you. And so they would lose the first two or three rows of the Roman army as it was walking along. It was a military term. And so when Paul is using this, he says, I want to take the scallop out of my life. I want to take the thing that catches me up. I want to take the thing that catches me out all the time when I'm trying to live a life set apart for God. There are things in my life that are distracting me, that distract me and catch me out. Do you have those? Do you have those online this morning? I certainly do. Things that catch me out. Paul begs, please take this away. And God's response is this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. For us this morning, we might pray that same prayer. Take away the scallop. Take away the things that catch me out when I'm trying to live a life that is focused on you, Jesus. There are things that distract me. Please take them away. And there are things that I don't want in my life. Please take them away. And he says, in your brokenness, I want you to boast about the fact that I have made you perfect in me. We might pray things like, heal me, change our circumstances, fix this problem, relieve this pain. You see, I think we get so tripped up with coming to God with our requests and our petitions, that we don't actually surrender to His will. And the second thing I don't think we do is that we don't, when we're praying, it reminds us that we're not in control, but we know who is, and we want to stay close to them. Praying doesn't mean that we are coming and using God as a like in a transactional way, but no, instead we are surrendering of ourselves. Paul wrote the letter to the church in Philippians, and he talks about when Christ, in Philippians 2, he talks about Christ in His obedience and Him aligning Himself to the will of God, which is what we talked about in the Garden of Gethsemane. He emptied Himself of everything that was Him and took on the very nature of God. He stripped away all that was happening in His life. If God's grace is enough for Paul, then it's enough for me and you as well. It's enough for me and you as well. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. In the original text in the Greek, they would use the word charis for grace. Undeserved favor. God freely extends Himself, leaning and reaching to us. Reaching to us because He wants to bless us and be near to us. This morning in our worship time, Neil shared a concept about we're created to be in community, right? Well, I think God creates us to be in relationship with Him firstly. And we do that by being in relationship with others as well. Within the New Testament, charis is mentioned 155 times. It might be important for us to capture that concept. It might be important. You see, I think we often come to God and say, God, when I'm praying to You today, I need You to know this is what I need. I've already worked it out, and this is what I need. And God says, no, I am what you need. I am all you need. We used to sing a song, and I don't know if we've sung it here. We certainly sung it at other call that I've been at, and it says, He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. Well, when we sing that chorus, we can't possibly have anything else on that list. When we sing those words, it is a real tension and a real struggle for us. We often turn up and say, God, this is what I want. This is what I need. And He says, no, I am all you need. Surrender to My will for you. Prayer reminds us that we are not in control, that we need to stay close, and that our way needs to be surrendered to the will of God, and that we need to say, we want to live Your way, Yahweh, not my way. Prayer isn't just about asking. It's like what Logan was saying this morning. I'm a bit challenged that I might be out of a job soon. But Logan shared this morning, and I hope he didn't miss it. I'm going to keep praying and trusting. Right? It's a little bit offensive, to be honest. The little kid at 12 has worked it out, and I don't seem to work it out as quickly. Either I'm a slow learner, or he had a good teacher. One of the two. Probably.
The second one.
Thanks. The second one. Appreciate that, Logs. It's always nice to have... It's always good to have the peanut gallery at church, right? How do we mute that? Anyone know? Anyway. Just keep me humble, all right. But he said that it's praying and trusting. It's not just turning up and asking. It's about trusting that God is got it sorted. It's not just asking God for what we want, but trusting God that He knows what's best. Another song that we used to sing, it was my Nana's favorite song. And it says, I'm in His hands, I'm in His hands. Whatever the future holds, I'm in His hands. The days I cannot see have all been planned for me. The next line, His way is best, you see. Can you imagine singing that and not believing it? That's exactly what we're talking about here this morning. Paul says, if you can take it away, no, my grace is sufficient for you. If you can take it away, no, boast about your weakness. It is made perfect. My power is made perfect in your weakness. If you can take it away, my grace is sufficient for you. Paul is looking back on a thorn, and it's actually a good thing to acknowledge that God has got everything in control, to acknowledge that we are not in control, but we surrender our ways to His way. It's not about getting our own way. I've used this story a number of times, and I only touch on it briefly this morning. We've all been around toddlers, haven't we? And little people who say, I can do this all by myself. Now, there's snickering in the room and there's probably snickering online. But friends, I'm guilty of saying that to God too. When He wants to bless us and when He wants to move in our life and break through in situations, and I say, I can do this all by myself. There's no surrendering of will in that. There's no saying, your kingdom come, your will be done, because I'm worried about my will and my way. So I'm challenged this morning by this story. When I say that God doesn't make sense and He seems inattentive, I want to pray like Paul. God, I acknowledge that I'm broken. I acknowledge that I'm not perfect. But in my imperfections and with the dints and the cracks and the scratches and the paint chips off because of the life that I've led, can you just come and allow your grace to wash over me afresh today? It's not about getting our own way. It's about surrendering our will. We need to be reminded this morning from Paul that we are not in control. And it's not just about asking. It's about trusting. Well, we're coming to the conclusion of this series on when God doesn't make sense. And for you and for me, there may have been times, there may be times right now where God isn't making sense. Maybe God is silent. Well, friends, this morning I want to give you the encouragement that just because God is silent, it doesn't mean He is absent. Maybe you have caught that contagious thing called impatience from me. And you're sick of waiting. Haven't I waited long enough? A waiting season is never a wasted season. Let's spend time this morning as their music team comes to share with us. Want to talk about grace? Well, we talk about this song we're about to sing. Once again, I look upon the cross where You died. I'm humbled by Your mercy and I'm broken inside. Once again, I thank You, and I thank You for the cross. Because, your friends, it's because of the cross that we can have the grace that God has for us. It's because of His sacrifice that we get to experience His power in our weakness. You know, sometimes God, when we pray, says, wait. What? Wait. Yeah, sometimes He says wait. And sometimes, because we're saying, I want your will, not my will, sometimes it's just outright no. And sometimes it's let's change course together. Whatever it might be, wherever you've found yourself in these last weeks thinking, oh, I look out here and I'm struggling to see where God is in all of this. This doesn't make sense. Well, know this morning, friends, that God's grace is sufficient for you. It is made perfect in our weakness. When God doesn't make sense, His way is best, you see. Trust Him, even when you can't see where the next step is. Looking forward to the next week, looking at a new series called Overcomers. And as we look at that series, we're going to look at all that we're going to be able to do through God. We're overcomers. We're going to speak against the labels that others have put on our lives. We're going to look at that for the next few weeks. But this morning, let's pause. Pause online. Pause here in the building. Quieten our spirits and allow God to speak to us. My prayer is that God's Holy Spirit would break through here today, whether it be online or on here in the building, that we would be able to be honest enough to say, yep, God hasn't made sense, but I'm trusting that His way is best, you see. Thanks, Neil.